ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
We have carpet.
It is coming together.
It's coming together. We are in our studio. And from now on, we'll be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, the carpet is lusciously soft and the wall color is just a calm,
yeah,
beautiful seafoam.
Yeah, rain-washed.
Rain-washed, that's what it's called. I love it. So you've been busy building stuff.
Been busy. Mm-hmm. And I've got lots to do.
Yeah.
Look at my face. Look at my face. I'm all broke out in eczema.
Oh.
I look like I have leprosy or...
No, you don't.
I also look like, you know, the beloved lunchbox snack, the Star Crunch.
No, she doesn't.
Oh, man. It just...
She's being so dramatic right now.
Oh, my gosh. I've been itching. And this happens like once a year, like when the weather changes.
Yeah.
And it always coincides with like a time where I'm really stressed out.
Of course. So. Well, because you tend to put a lot on your plate. And that's just what you do.
I have a mental illness. Like, I'm not even being funny. I will find a gap in my schedule of any kind, and I'll be like, oh, I've got time to do that. I've got time.
Yeah, I try not to do that.
Oh, Lena, I've got to stop doing that.
You
because
do.
I'm going to just putter out.
Yeah, that's
I'm
what
not
happens.
I'm going to make it to 50.
That's why God tells us to take the Sabbath so that we will rest for a whole day and give ourselves a break.
I know. I need to say nothing on a Sunday.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be a Sunday. Like,
yeah. Or just take a day.
Take a day.
Just be like, no, it's Mondays.
Yeah.
I don't do Mondays.
Mm.
Apparently, I only do Tuesdays. Because here we are.
Here we are. This is what we do on our downtime.
This is what we do. But yeah. So how have you been?
Good.
Good.
Same old, same old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going to visit your sister.
Oh, yeah.
And take her little goodies.
Uh-huh. Little goodies.
You know, we got to take care of our cousins when they're, you know.
When they're down.
Yeah, when they're down, so.
Or when they're up. She'll get that. Anyways.
Yeah, on to the next. Do you want to get into the story
Let's
now?
Let's do it.
Because, yeah. Okay, well, today we're going back to the 1990s.
Oh, well, it was a good time.
Oh, good times.
It was a good time.
Yeah. But not in this case.
Oh.
Yeah. November 20th, 1994, Lori Lindbergh arrived at her friend Robin Lawrence's house. She hadn't heard from her. Actually, no one had heard from her since November 18th around 6 p.m., two days earlier. Robin's husband became worried when he hadn't been able to contact her for those couple of days. He was in the Bahamas on a work trip.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask where he was.
Yeah. So he had called Lori and asked her to go check on Robin. The back door, when Lori arrived, the back door was open.
Oh.
First bad sign.
Mm-mm.
So Lori walked in and she called out for Robin. There was no answer. She called out for Nicole, Robin's 2-year-old daughter.
Oh no.
And here comes Nicole walking towards her.
Jesus.
Yeah. So Lori continued walking through the house, and this is when she found something that no one could even fathom or expect to find. Yeah, you're going to check on somebody, but you don't really think you're going to find what she found. So she's walking towards Robin's bedroom, and she can see blood spatter and streaks of blood on the wall. And her heart sank. She called 911 and took Nicole to the hospital. Nicole didn't seem in distress, but you see, she had already undergone a liver transplant in her infancy.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. And she was on certain medications. And so Lori wasn't sure how long it had even been since Nicole went.
Had gone without medication.
Exactly. Her medication. When's the last time she had water or food?
Oh. And did she have like a full diaper?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah, that wasn't reported, but I'm sure.
Oh.
Detective Garman determined that the intruder had come in through the sliding glass door in the backyard, the same door that Lori came through. The cord to the phone in the bedroom was cut. It was clear that the attack started when Robin was lying in bed and she fought back.
Oof.
Bloody tissues were scattered around the house, which the detective figured that it was from little Nicole as she walked around the house.
Aww.
I don't know if they thought maybe she was trying to doctor her mommy up or if she even knew what was going on. There were empty baby bottles near Robin's body, and Detective Garman believed that that was Nicole bringing her mom a bottle, asking for something to drink or eat.
Oh my gosh, that hurts.
Cash and jewelry was left in the home, so it didn't appear to be a robbery. So, I mean, where do you begin?
Right.
Robin had been stabbed 49 times throughout her body.
Oh.
With severe gaping wounds, especially in her neck.
Oh.
She had defensive wounds on her hands. One thing that stuck out to Detective Garman was that on the sliding glass door of the bathtub shower was a metal rod, you know, where you can grab onto it and close it, or you can hang towels.
Yeah.
Well, Robin had a couple of pink towels neatly folded and hanging, and draping on top of those was a washcloth. That washcloth had a small brownish stain on it, and it was, in fact, blood.
Ooh.
Just what the detectives were thinking. Oh. Brownish stain.
Mm-hmm.
So it was tested, but the DNA did not match any known person in close to the case.
Mm.
Not anybody in the family, not the close friends. Robin, she was about to turn 38. Her birthday was just 3 days after she was murdered.
So young.
Lori and Robin met in ballet class, and they moved into an apartment together in Washington, D.C. And this is about the time that Robin started dating her husband, Ollie.
Aww.
They got married New Year's Eve in 1989. Ollie was a calm and confident man. He was an executive at an airline and traveled for work.
Well, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Highfalutin. Mm-hmm. Robin and Ollie were living life, working, building a family, and a life together. Lori called Robin's parents, and so Lori tells in the 48 Hours episode that at the hospital, the police asked her to call Robin's family.
Oh, gosh.
Oh. Could you imagine?
Mm-mm.
So Lori called Robin's parents and told them the horrific news. And her family, they couldn't understand or think of who in the world right. would have done this to their sweet, precious yeah. Robin.
No one could ever. I mean, you just can't put your mind like, who would do this to my girl?
Right.
Like, no one would do this.
No. And yeah, she didn't have a mean bone in her body. Yeah. Like,
and who would leave the baby?
Right.
Unattended like this.
Right. I mean, if it was her husband, he would not have right. left his 2-year-old baby.
Right.
Because they didn't suspect that this was just a robbery gone really bad, they started digging into the dynamic of Robin and Ollie's marriage. They learned that Ollie had been having an affair with a woman.
That old chestnut.
Yeah. It was an affair with a woman that he had worked with.
Oh.
Mm. Detectives flew to the Bahamas to talk to Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought, what in the world? Why was he not already on his way home? That's what
I was just about to ask you. Like, why hadn't he come home yet?
Yeah. I don't know if they flew out there to tell him or if he knew.
That they were trying to catch him in something? Yeah. Maybe?
I don't know how that played out, but I thought that was really weird why he just wasn't already on his way home.
Right.
So they fly out to the Bahamas and they talk to Ollie, and he has an airtight alibi. He was there in the Bahamas at the hotel that he was registered at.
Okay, couldn't be further away.
Yeah.
Got it.
His mistress had a tight alibi as well. I don't know what it was.
So she wasn't there with him?
I don't know. I couldn't find that information.
Mm. Okay.
Robin's family absolutely did not believe that Ollie had anything to do with the murder. I mean, they may have just found out that he was unfaithful in the marriage, but he would never murder his wife.
Mm-hmm.
The case would go cold.
Oh.
The best evidence that they had was that small blood stain, and CODIS didn't even bring up a match.
Yeah.
So jumping to 2019.
Whoa.
Yes. They had genealogy testing processed on the DNA samples. The possibility of finding a match would prove to be very difficult, and the lab didn't, it was like they didn't want to take on this mm-hmm. almost impossible task.
Right.
But God provided an angel named Liz.
Liz
was a volunteer with the police department, and she did genealogy work.
Amazing.
She offered to do the work for free.
Wow.
Yeah. She wanted the family to have closure. Liz had 1,500 distant cousins.
Whoa.
That were a match to this DNA.
Holy crap. Is that our family?
I know. But like distant. Right. So here she is. She's got to dwindle it down.
Crud. Yeah. Like, how do I even?
Yeah. So in the meantime, while she's doing her thing, they ask Parabon Nanolabs.
Parabon.
I was going to say that just for you, but you beat me to it. You beat me to it. So they asked them to do phenotyping to come up with a composite of what the person might look like.
So cool.
It is so cool.
I can't get over it.
Cool. Like the connection in this case, seeing the composite. Anyway.
Whoa.
Spoiler. Right. Okay.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
So in April of 2021, the composite was finally produced. This person would have had fair skin complexion, a larger chin and wider jaw.
All right.
And wide cheeks with a narrow nose.
Okay. So big old face.
Sounds ugly, right? dark blue eyes. Lighter brown hair.
Okay.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
A gremlin, basically.
Sure. A new set of detectives picked up the case, Melissa Wallace and John Long. They started reviewing the evidence, reports, pictures of the case, whatnot. Detective Melissa contacted Ollie and asked if he recognized the perpetrator from the sketch that they had. But he had no clue.
Weird.
Didn't know the guy. Liz wanted to... In her searching, in her dwindling down, there were several times that she just wanted to give up.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
You're working for free.
Yeah.
You don't have to be doing this.
Yeah.
You don't have any loyalty to this family, but you're just like out of the goodness of your heart. And then you have to maintain that fire.
Yes. But you have to also remember your purpose, why right. you're doing it. It's not for your satisfaction.
Right. And because that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Once she solves this, then what?
Right.
Good job, Liz. Like,
right.
She's not going to get like a Purple Heart or, mm-hmm. you know, an accommodation from the president. Not that anybody would want that right now, but, but yeah, it's people like that are amazing. I can't imagine how many times she probably thought, what am I doing?
Right.
Like, yeah. Why am I doing this?
Especially because it took her 3 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. She traced closer cousins to the DNA to two people in Canada.
Whoa.
The next step in the difficult process was figuring out where these cousins linked in the family tree. The answer that she came to was a man named Stephen Smirk.
Oh, interesting.
She called the detectives and gave them this name to look into. This Stephen Smirk was living in upstate New York and married to a defense attorney.
Oh.
And he worked as a computer programmer. He had two kids in high school and had no criminal record whatsoever. So they're like, okay, this guy is clean. Like, how right. can he be our guy? But digging further, they found a yearbook picture from when he was 16 years old, and he looked strikingly similar to the phenotyping composite.
So this was a cousin of the DNA profile, or this was, she traced it back to this guy?
Yeah. So she got this guy, Steven, is the guy that they're looking for. And she got to him by these two cousins in Canada.
So this is the guy.
Yes.
She's to the guy. Okay.
So detectives showed up at Steven's house without warning.
Oof.
They introduce themselves and tell him that they are investigating a cold case from Virginia. He gave them no reaction and allowed them to come into his home so that they could ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
The detectives were a little taken aback because he just let them, come on in. And
he didn't say, like,
within 5 minutes, they had his DNA. Like, he willingly gave his DNA.
Wow.
He didn't even ask questions. Most people would have been like, wait a second, what's going on?
Like, how did you get my name?
Yeah.
Like, how, yeah.
Who, what, when, where, why, mm-hmm. and how come?
I'd be asking all kinds of
all
questions.
All of it.
Yeah.
No, he's just like, oh, okay. Cold case, Virginia. Here's my DNA.
Okay.
And within 5 minutes, they were out of the house. Like, what?
Whoa.
After leaving his house, detectives Melissa and John went to the hotel that they would be staying at for the night. As they're getting settled, Melissa gets a call from who?
The wife?
No, none other than Stephen Smirk.
Okay.
He tells her, I'm at the police station to turn myself in.
What?
She says, turn yourself in for what? And he says, for the murder.
Wow.
He says, I'm here, but I can't get in the police department. The doors are locked.
Oh my gosh, what a clown show.
Right? How crazy.
But this is exactly what Samantha Perez said when she was driving around to all the police departments looking to see to get help to find her daughter.
Yes.
All the doors were locked.
Yeah, they do keep them locked.
Yeah.
So Melissa asked him to hang up with her and call 911 and tell them that he was there and that he needed to talk to them or, you know.
I can't believe she did that. I would be scared that he wouldn't do it.
I know.
That he'd be like, okay.
But it's like quick thinking, like, okay, what can we do? Hang up, call 911, tell them that you're there and you need to turn yourself in. So she's like, I'll be on my way and we'll talk. It's never that easy.
No.
What? So, but he did just that. He hangs up and he dials 911 and he tells the dispatcher, I'm here to turn myself in for a cold case crime. His next comment was, so the dispatcher's like, turn yourself in. And he's like, well, they collected DNA, so it's only a matter of time.
Jeez.
So Melissa goes straight to John's hotel room and tells him, like, we got to go. In the interrogation room, Stephen takes no time. He says, quote, it was 100% intentional. I am a serial killer who's only killed once.
What?
So he's had these ideations, all these thoughts of wanting to kill people, but he's only done it once.
Oh.
He tells them that he does not remember the name of the woman that he murdered, but he does remember that she was African American. At the time, he was 22 years old and in the military at Fort Myer, and he was not in the right frame of mind. He had been drinking and taking ephedrine.
Okay, well.
So that night, he had an overwhelming feeling that he had to kill somebody. But he didn't have a plan on who it would be. He just had to do it.
Yikes.
So he left his house and he drove around Robin's neighborhood. He had been in her neighborhood before, like at a friend's house or something like that.
God.
And he randomly chose Robin's house. He went to the backyard and entered the sliding glass door. I'm not sure if it was unlocked or how he got in. It had to have been unlocked because there was no, I mean, it wasn't
forced entry.
Yeah. He was wearing a ski mask and gloves. He went down the hall and noticed that she had a baby there with her, but Nicole was in a different room. She was not in the same room as Robin. And he proceeded straight to Robin's bedroom. As soon as she realized that he was there in her room, she got out of bed and got on her knees and begged for her life. She tried to get the phone to call for help, but he cut the phone line and she did fight for her life. He very coldly said, I cut her up pretty good. I did everything that the military taught me in hand combat.
Oh, that's sick.
He told the detectives that her daughter was in the other room. So, I mean, I don't know if that made him feel better.
Thank you for sparing her.
He said, I'm highly, highly influenced by demons, and that the biggest reason to join the military was that he wanted to kill.
Wow.
But she's the only person that I've killed is what he said. He says, if it weren't for my wife and kids, I believe that I would have been a serial killer.
Well, I mean, plenty of serial killers have a wife and kids.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but I mean, he was able to stop himself.
Jeez.
When asked if he went into a Robin's bathroom, he confirmed that Robin scratched his face. So he was injured. But he doesn't remember if he went into the bathroom. But he possibly went in there to look or tend to the scratches.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he did because the rag with his blood on it was in there.
Mm-hmm.
The DNA results that he offered up were a complete match to the blood found on that washcloth in Robin's bathroom. Detective John asked him if he would like to express any remorse or say anything to Robin's family. His response was chilling. He said, how do I say this? I know y'all are recording. I don't feel anything for the family.
Wow.
He said, I feel bad that I did it because I knew that someday my personal freedom would be affected.
Okay.
I mean, how's that for honesty?
Mm-hmm. This guy has no, like, he's just completely empty.
Empty.
Empty. How could you be married to someone like this?
I mean, I feel like he had love and maybe respect for his wife and kids, because if he didn't, he would have continued doing what he was doing.
Maybe. Or but what like, he did. Don't you think there's so many things in a marriage where
you would
pick up on, oh, this guy is 100%.
Especially a defense attorney.
Right.
But also defense attorneys see the best in people, that's I think.
True. Or they compartmentalize things and yeah. try to, that's so interesting to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Mary Ellen O'Toole, a FBI profiler, suggested that the murder was not a random pick for Steve or Stephen. He had the weapon and the ski mask and gloves with him. I mean, he already said that.
And he'd been in her
neighborhood
before.
Surely he knew that Robin's husband was not home.
Right.
But in another comment during the confession, Stephen said, there could have been 50 people in that house. I don't know. They could have all had guns and shot me dead. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Well,
take it as you will. I don't know.
I kind of believe him just because of his nonchalantness about everything else.
Right. So Stephen was arrested and charged with murder, obviously. Detective Melissa called Nicole, Robin's daughter, and then the rest of the family to tell them the news. The family really wanted this to go to trial. They wanted Stephen's life to have to be picked apart.
Yes.
In front of everybody.
Right.
April of 2024, they went to a preliminary hearing, and this is when the family heard him in his own words in the confession video from the interview room. Mm-hmm. Oh, it makes me so sick that they had to listen to that.
Ugh.
6 months later, Stephen would enter a plea deal.
I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's his control. Like, he has taken control over this whole thing. Yeah, I did
it. I'm going to take the lesser charge.
Yeah. Stephen's defense attorney would work in the evidence that Stephen suffered from undiagnosed bipolar disorder. And on top of that, he abused alcohol and ephedrine.
Okay. Not my problem.
Uh-huh. The defense attorney talks about how Stephen always wanted to accept responsibility for the murder. And even though he told detectives he didn't feel remorse, she says the desire of wanting to confess was a form of expressing remorse.
Oh, okay. That's one way to put it.
Right.
I've never heard of it that way, but good.
Yeah. I mean, of course, this was all a ploy to lessen the sentence. Mm-hmm. And at 53 years old, he was sentenced to 70 years in prison.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm, with the possibility of parole. And he is eligible for parole in 2037.
Why even bother with the 70 years then?
That,
I don't get the sentencing.
I know.
What? Who?
What?
It's the same person that decides the sentencing is the same person who prices things at Ross, Dress for Less. Okay? You never know what they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Same product is five different prices. Like, what are we doing here? 70 years with the possibility of parole? That's a stupid sentence to say.
But you know what? What's even stupider? Yes, I said stupider because it is stupid. That he's eligible in 2037. That is only 12 years away.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, so we'll see what good behavior gets him. I don't know. But the judge made sure that if Stephen ever gets out, he will be on probation and have to wear a GPS monitor.
Well, he should just kill people in prison then and not ever get out and maybe take care of some of the riffraff.
We just know how this is going to work.
Ugh, we do.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
That's the sad thing.
Yeah.
We'll see y'all back here in 12 years with the same story.
I'm going to be praying about that because that's really scary to think about. This man has told you he thinks about killing
people. He's like,
people.
I just want to do it. I don't care.
But hey, he was undiagnosed for bipolar disorder back then. Maybe now that he's diagnosed and getting help.
Well, who knows?
I don't know. But we know how this works.
It's the glibness for me. It's the lack of remorse, the whole
Yeah. He told you he doesn't have remorse. What? We'll see when parole comes up. I don't know. But I can't leave y'all with that. So I'm going to turn it back to Robin. I haven't told y'all much about her. Yeah. So she was born in 1957 in Ithaca, New York. And grew up in Syracuse. Robin had her sister, Mary, and a brother, Robert. She was very artistic and at age 9, won a drawing competition at the Everson Museum.
How cool.
I know. And she earned several prizes throughout the years for her art.
Aww.
After graduating from Nottingham High School in 1974, she pursued an art degree at Carnegie College of Fine Arts in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She was artistic and creative. She was passionate about dancing. Remember, she met her friend in ballet class. Yeah. She liked to ski, swim, and golf. She had no trouble making friends as she was compassionate and kind-hearted. After graduating from college, Robin relocated to Washington, D.C., where she met the love of her life, Ollie Lawrence. They moved to West Springfield, Virginia, got married, and had their beautiful baby girl, Nicole. Robin was employed at Merchants Tire and Auto Center in Manassas as the director of advertising.
Oh, cool. So she could use her creativeness.
You need somebody creative for that.
Creativeness. Creativity?
One of those. Stupider.
Stupider. I don't know.
Due to her talent, she was selected to create the first medal for the Martin Luther King Jr. Nonviolent Peace Prize.
Whoa.
And that medal was given to Rosa Parks.
Shut up.
Isn't that so cool? Like what?
Wow.
What an honor.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Robin was down to earth and so much fun to be around. Her niece, Lauren, talks on the 48 Hours episode of how her Aunt Robin inspired her. Aww. And still inspires her. Lauren is a lot like Robin, and actually her family calls her by her aunt's name sometimes. but Robin taught Lauren how to be comfortable in who she was. She was just 8 years old when Robin died.
Oh, man.
But she still lives with her. I mean,
that is tough.
Her spirit's
with
her
today. That's a tough age because you're aware enough, still very unaware about life.
Specifics. And
Oh, man.
So Lauren and Nicole have stayed close as they grew up together. And Robin's dad, who's now 101 years old.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
He talks about how difficult it's been to think about his granddaughter and what she witnessed. But you can see where Robin got her class and her confidence from. Robert and Jesse, Robin's parents, wrote a biography that talks about his life in World War II and the civil rights movement and the power of love and endurance in the face of of adversity. It's called Enduring Love, if you want to go check it out.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's so old and he can still maintain that gentleness and kindness. And yeah. Especially after everything he's seen and endured.
Right.
Having been in the war himself.
Right. And he's done a lot of good things in his life. And I mean, y'all should go watch the 48 Hours episode on this case just to see his sweet little face. Aww. But they sound and look like just a beautiful family, classy.
Did he say what his secret was to living 101 years old?
I don't know. No, he didn't, but I would love to know.
You remember that old lady who was like, I drank Dr. Pepper every day? Wow. Well, thank you for telling her story. That is just, it's always the good ones.
I know.
Why can't we have some troll? You know, it's always the good ones.
Yeah.
Her sweet baby daughter in the other room. That's another thing that makes me feel like I believe him when he said there could have been 50 people in the house because he saw the baby and he didn't care.
He knew
good and well he was about to kill her mother, and he didn't care what happened to that child. No. That child could have very well been left in there for weeks and died. He didn't care.
Right.
He left the back door open.
Yeah, he did.
She could have wandered out, got hit by a car. He did not care.
And thank God she didn't. Thank God she stayed in that house.
She stayed in there with her mother.
But yeah, the whole 50 people thing. I mean, he was proud of his military experience and his training, and he obviously was ready to use his training.
Yeah, he was like, I executed it the way I was taught. The end.
So nauseating.
It really does surprise me that he didn't kill anyone else.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he would have told us if he had.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was just so easy for him when he's like, okay, I might as well. Like,
wow. Shocked, but thank you for telling Robin's story, and her family sound like just wonderful people, which is how she fell from the tree.
Yes.
So that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs, or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these winds are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
America's social casino. This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold.
Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.